Do you think Moses actually looked like Charlton Heston? I don't know. But if you think about it, other than Jesus and possibly the Apostle Paul, it's likely that no other figure in all of human history has exerted more influence on mankind than did Moses. Think about it. The first five books of the Old Testament are attributed to his authorship. He held the original tablets of the Ten Commandments in his own hands. He was raised as the prince of Egypt. He was refined as a shepherd of Midian. He was transformed into a prophet of God. This morning we're going to begin a series of messages on the life of Moses, gleaning from the life of Moses some good spiritual principles for our own life, some principles about spiritual leadership. This morning, our passage will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This is the great faith chapter. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging each one of us to live a life of faith, showing us what that will look like through some of the lives of the saints of the Old Testament. You know, throughout the Bible, we are shown that it is by faith that God wants to establish a relationship with his people. The writer of Hebrews shows many of the heroes of the Old Testament who found favor with God through their great faith. This chapter actually has much in common with another great faith chapter in the Bible, which is Romans chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul uses Abraham as an example of great faith. You know, Abraham, according to Romans chapter 4, was declared to be righteous before God because of his faith. Not because he kept the Ten Commandments, because as we know, the Ten Commandments were given much after the time of Abraham. Another point that Paul is making in Romans chapter 4 is that Abraham was declared righteous not because he had already received the covenant sign of circumcision, because that actually was given after the time that God had declared Abraham to be righteous because of his faith. The main point of Romans chapter 4, the main point of Hebrews chapter 11, is that it is faith and acting in faith that we are drawn into our relationship with God. Now the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 gives us several examples from the Old Testament. This morning we want to focus in on just the person of Moses and how Moses, as one of many in the Old Testament, found favor with God, acted in obedience with God through his great faith. So let's begin reading. If you want to follow along, we're reading primarily from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. The passage begins, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Actually, you can tell from that verse that this passage begins by describing the faith of Moses' parents. The writer says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Now, this was at great risk to their own lives. Pharaoh had ordered that every Hebrew baby boy was to be thrown into the river and drowned. Exodus 1:22. As you know, the story of Moses begins during a very difficult time in the history for the people of Israel. After God had called Abraham to a new place, a new land, he promised to give Abraham and the descendants of Abraham all the land there. And so the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived in the land, but eventually they became enslaved down in Egypt. Well, backing up just a bit, it was through the influence of Joseph that the sons of Jacob, the Israelites, at first came down into Egypt as the guests of the Pharaoh. However, after many years, the Israelites as a group fell out of favor with the rulers of Egypt. And a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph came to power, and he enslaved the people of Israel. As the people of Israel continued to increase in numbers there in Egypt, the Pharaoh recognized that if the people of Israel became too numerous, they could become a potential ally to one of the enemies of Egypt. And so the Pharaoh devised a plan to keep the children of Israel in check. He would prescribe that every Hebrew male child born in Egypt would be put to death by being thrown into the Nile River. It was during this dark time in the history of God's people that God saw their struggle. He heard the cry of his people in Egypt, and he began to call forth someone who would deliver the people out of their enslavement. That deliverer was Moses. As our story begins, the parents of Moses were dealing with the danger that related to Moses. Moses was one of those male children born in Egypt. And therefore, Moses was required by the Pharaoh's edict to be killed in the waters of the Nile. Moses' parents, however, acting in faith, hide and protect their son from that sentence and death. And why did they do that? Well, the writer of Hebrew tells us they saw that he was no ordinary child. Moses certainly was not an ordinary child. He was a child that was chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel from their enslavement. And so, acting in faith, the parents of Moses were used by God to prepare this child for what God had determined was to be the calling of this little child. We want to broaden our application here. We would want to affirm that there really is no such thing as an ordinary child. Each child, as you know, is precious to God. Each child has been called by God to live an extraordinary life. God does indeed have a plan and a purpose for every child born. Now, God had something spectacular for Moses. And in faith, the parents of Moses worked to protect Moses for God's purposes. But God also has something in store for every child. And the task of each parent, the task of each grandparent, is to protect and to help raise their child so that their child can fulfill what God has in store for them. By faith, godly parents, by faith, godly grandparents see the potential in their children, and they pray for the next generation to accomplish extraordinary things for the glory of God. The third action demonstrated the faith of Moses' parents was that they had a greater fear of God than their fear of the Pharaoh. This is how the writer of Hebrews puts it. They were not afraid of the king's decree. Recall, the decree of the king was that every male child was to be put to death in the Nile. To openly defy that edict was a dangerous course of action. But the faith of the parents of Moses was far greater, and their fear of God was far greater than their fear of Pharaoh, and their sense of responsibility before God was far greater as well. A responsibility that God does indeed place upon parents and upon grandparents for the nurture and protection and raising of their children. The parents of Moses feared God more than Pharaoh. This reminds me of Pharaoh's first plan to deal with the problem of the Hebrews in his land. If you recall from the story of the Exodus, that the Pharaoh's first plan was to enlist the Hebrew midwives in his scheme to control the increasing population of the Hebrews. In Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, it tells the story of how Pharaoh first went to the midwives and told them these words. Pharaoh said to the midwives, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, let her live." We know from the story of the Exodus that that plan does not succeed. And why not? Well, verse 17 of Exodus 1 tells us, it says, "The midwives, however, feared God, and they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live." You see, the midwives, like the parents of Moses, and I hope for each one of us as believers, had a greater fear of God and a greater sense of responsibility to God than they did toward the words and the dictates of mere men. Sometimes each one of us, not just the parents, each one of us find ourselves in a situation where we must decide between two courses of action. Am I going to be obedient to God in this particular situation, or am I going to comply with the dictates of men? Well, in such a situation, people of faith choose that course of action of obedience to God. For that path, as we know, is far superior and ultimately far safer than the plans and the dictates of men. In fact, the Apostle Peter articulated this idea very well when he found himself in a situation where the authorities of Jerusalem had actually commanded Peter and the other apostles to stop preaching the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Peter recognized that God had specifically called him to preach the gospel in that very city. So what was he to do? Was he to obey God, or was he to obey men in this situation? He found himself in this conflict, this tension between being called upon or instructed to obey these two sets of things. And Peter boldly told the authorities these words, and I'm now reading from the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter says, "We must obey God rather than men." When parents, when grandparents bravely decide to obey God rather than men, they actually model for their children, for their grandchildren, they model courage and they model commitment to those children. I can imagine years later, as Moses found himself in a place where he had to stand up to Pharaoh to fulfill God's call in his life, he drew courage and encouragement from the example left to him by his own parents and the faith that they exercised. Well, finishing the story of the infancy of Moses, we also want to recall the faithful actions of his parents. It says that at 3 months old, the baby Moses was placed in a basket and strategically hidden among the reeds of the Nile so that the daughter of Pharaoh would find the child and be used by God to protect that child for his role as the future deliverer of God's people. Now, but before we leave the story of the birth of Moses and how he was protected in his infancy, let's compare this story briefly with the story of the birth of our own Savior. The story of his birth in the little town of Bethlehem. Imagine, if you will, with me as we stand there on the banks of the Nile River. We see Moses' mother placing a 3-month-old boy in a basket and leaving him there. As you looked upon that scene, would you have guessed that this Hebrew boy would become one of the world's greatest leaders, used by God in a very powerful way, a way of deliverance. If you were standing there next to the manger where a young virgin named Mary had placed her baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, would you have realized that this humble infant was the only begotten Son of God? You know, we don't always see the big picture, but God does. Through eyes of faith, we would see Him who is invisible. We would see Him who is invisible. Through our eyes of faith, we would see greater things that God is doing. God continues to do great things in our midst. Do we see what God is doing? Would you have seen in this Hebrew baby in the reeds of the Nile what God was doing there? Would you have seen in this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, what God was doing in human history? God does remarkable things, and what we need to do is see those things, see Him who is invisible. Let's now go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and see the faith of Moses in action now. A faith assuredly that he had learned from his own parents and their act of faith. I think parents or children do indeed see how their parents approach the challenges of life. Our children see how their grandparents face the challenges of life. I trust that each child will see in their believing parents, in their believing grandparents, an approach to life which is an approach of faith. Seen in the story of the parents of Moses, seen in the life of Moses himself. Turning now to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He saw him who was invisible. Interesting little fact on the life of Moses. He lived to be 120 years old, and his life can easily be divided into three 40-year segments. The first 40 years, he was Prince of Egypt. The second 40 years, after he had killed an Egyptian who had mistreated his fellow Israelite, he was a fugitive and served as a shepherd in Midian. And during the last 40 years, he led the Hebrews out of their Egyptian bondage. You know, a very nice summary of the life of Moses and how he had acted in faith is found in the words of the speech of Stephen that he gave before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts chapter 7. We've talked about Stephen before. He was given that opportunity to give the history of Israel and show how that relates to the faith of this new community. Let me read for you a passage from Stephen's speech that relates to the story of Moses. I'm reading now from Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and he avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. And then verse 30, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the voice of the Lord. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear, and he did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groanings, and I have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. Looking back now to our account of Moses found in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that all along the way, all along the life of Moses, we have several significant decisions that he had to make and where he had to exercise his faith. Faith in God, faith in what God was doing with him. You're looking at Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 24, we see there that he decided that he would not be seen as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he would choose to be a servant of God. If you think about the life of the son of Pharaoh's daughter and the life of a servant of God, a life of much more ease and comfort would have been associated with the house of Pharaoh. But Moses turned his back on that. He wanted to be a servant of God and to follow the things that God had called him to follow. He decided what group of people that he would join and identify with him, even though that meant being mistreated along with the people of God. He chose to identify with the Hebrew people, even though that association brought with it hardship. Taking the long view of life, he determined to act righteously and to act responsibly, to do what God had called him to do. It says, again, verse 25, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He chose spiritual priorities over material ones. He knew that the life God had called him to live would not be a life of opulence and wealth, but a life of leading an enslaved people to a new land. But he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Think about this. Giving up and walking away from the treasures of this world so that we can enjoy fellowship with God. Walking with and enjoying the fellowship with God. He believed God's promises of the future. In fact, this is one of the key themes of Hebrews 11. If you read through all the different heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, one of the key themes of the whole section is how each one of these individuals looked forward to the promise, had faith in the promise of God, even though many of them did not see those promises fulfilled within their own life. Moses is an example of that. Moses was leading the people to the promised land, fulfilling God's call in his life. But as we know the story of Moses, he himself does not arrive and enter the promised land. But as Hebrews tells us, he's looking ahead to the reward and he's holding on to the promises of God in faith. He persevered over the long haul because he was convinced of the reality of God, and he saw him who was invisible. When we have difficult decisions to make, when we face the same challenges and decisions that Moses faced, we need to follow Moses' example. We need to remember who we are, whose we are. We need to look at the big picture. We need to put God's kingdom first and keep our eyes upon the goal and staying faithful, because we are confident, like Moses, confident that God is real and that God will fulfill in our lives the promises that God has made to us in Christ Jesus. Two final verses from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 28 now. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses' obedience to God was indeed a matter of life and death for himself and for the people of Israel. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, which is a vivid portrayal of that salvation that's ultimately accomplished for us in the sacrifice of Christ. Now, we have talked on a few occasions about the significance of the Passover and the significance of the sprinkling of blood. Here, the writer of Hebrews is drawing attention to the element of faith in that whole process of salvation. The last couple of Wednesday nights in our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been exploring the Psalms, Psalm 50 and 51. One of the key themes in both of those Psalms, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, is the idea that our faith, our heart response to God, is very important in the whole element or process of salvation. The physical sacrifice, it's important. In no place in the Old Testament is the physical sacrifice in any way shown to be unimportant. The physical sacrifice is important. In the Passover, it was the lamb that was killed and its blood put upon the doorposts. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, it was the sacrificial animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament system of atonement. And in the New Testament, we have the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who gave his life as the sacrifice of atonement in the New Testament. But what Psalms 50 and 51 teach, and what is implied by the faith of Hebrews 11, is that God also wants and he needs what each of us bring in faith and in a contrite heart. You see, the sacrifice by itself, without the accompanying faith and the heartful devotion to God, is not what brings people back into relationship with God. In fact, that's the hitting the nail on the head when it comes to Psalm 50 and Psalm 51. The sacrifices must be accompanied by a heart response, a contrite heart, a sense of faith. In the story of the Exodus, the blood of the lamb was shed as the means of atonement. But the people had to act in faith to apply that blood to their doorposts so that the atonement work of the blood can be effective for that household. Likewise, the blood of Christ has been shed as an atonement for sin, but we must embrace that salvation in faith. That is, we need to apply that salvation to our lives in faith so that the work of Calvary can be effective for our salvation. Like the blood of the Exodus, like the blood of the sacrificial animals, the blood of Calvary is available to all those that would apply that atonement to themselves in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do that, they were drowned. As we know from the Exodus story, under the leadership of Moses, more than 500,000 people experienced God's deliverance, His protection, as they walked safely through the parted waters of the Red Sea. Now, walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, that also took an act of faith. Just imagine, as Moses stood there in front of the sea, this barrier that was keeping them from safety, and they all looked behind them and saw the approaching army of Pharaoh. Moses took his staff and pointed it toward the sea, and the waters of the sea parted, providing a clear indication that this was the means, at this particular moment, that God was going to provide a way of deliverance for His people. You know, it must have been a frightening thing to actually step into that channel between those two walls of water on either side. But Moses led the people through that divide, through that channel of water in faith. Faith that God would see His salvation brought to completion. Again, as with the blood, it was not enough for God to simply part the waters. The people had to step out in faith and walk through those waters in order to experience the salvation that God was providing. When God continues to hold out a way of salvation for us, and we need to continue to take hold of that salvation by faith. This is again what Romans chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 11 is communicating to us. By faith we reach out and we receive those things that God is providing for us. Hebrews 11 gives us several examples of men and women in the Old Testament who walked in faith, who acted in faith, and therefore they experienced the promises of God and the protection of God. Romans 4, the chapter that described the faith of Abraham, ends with these words, and these are the words that bring this application to us. The words, "it was credited to him," were not written for him alone. In other words, Paul is saying that what happened in the life of Abraham was not just for Abraham, it was for all of us. We could likewise say the deliverance that God brought through Moses was not just for Moses, it was a deliverance that is available to all of us. Verse 24, "but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who will believe in Him and who raise Christ our Lord from the dead." He was delivered over to death for our sins, and He was raised to life for our justification. There is that salvation, that atonement available in Christ. And we, as followers of God, receive that and embrace that because of our life of faith. God wants each one of us to be children of faith, to walk in the ways of faith, to demonstrate to others a life of faith so that others can be encouraged by seeing how faith is worked out in real life. Salvation is available by faith. Protection, the promises of God are received in our faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much that You have always dealt with us and reached out to us in the same way. In the story of Abraham, it's not just about Abraham, as the Apostle Paul says, but it's for all of us. As the writer of Hebrews points out, the heroes of faith in the Old Testament were given to us as examples of how we ourselves today are to live a life of faith. Father, help us to be like Abraham, who was declared right before you, not by what he did, but by putting trust and faith in the promises that you made. Help us to be like Moses, who did not see himself the promised land, but instead received that which is by faith and received and believed in the promises that you had made to him. Father, help us likewise to be people who walk away from the ease and the treasures of this world to embrace the promises that you have given to us and to be servants of you as Moses was. Help us to do all these things in faith, walking as children of faith, so that we too will be right and righteous in your eyes. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.